And welcome to the Under the Bus podcast. I'm Clayton, joined by Merge. Merge, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Basketball is right around the corner. Real basketball is right around the corner. Let me paraphrase. It's right around the corner.
It is right around the corner. And then we got the big man himself. He was in the waterfalls the other day on his Instagram, trying to get some honeys, apparently. Big Raj, Big Swole. How are you doing, Raj?
I'm doing great. Clay, that's for Instagram, all right? You follow me. No one on Twitter follows me there. That's stuff you keep, you know, on that site.
I'm not, you know, telling your at on there, which I will.
No, for sure.
I'm just playing. But,
No, I'm happy to be back. I tweeted out football can have the next 3 weeks. So you guys got 3 Sundays to enjoy.
They were killing you all the timeline for that one.
I know. Three Mondays and Sundays. I don't know how y'all work with that, but whatever. And a Thursday, I guess. Y'all have 3 weeks. And then Laker preseason basketball is back. So the real sports are back. Merge, you have 3 weeks of wrestling back, I guess.
I'm telling you, mute the hashtag because I'm not stopping.
No, I'm not doing that. I don't even know how to do that. But yes. Glad to be back on the show. Oh,
gosh. Anyways, let's go ahead and get into it. We got some to talk about. First off, I think the most important thing for the Lakers was the Anthony Davis extension. Merge, you had the numbers, right?
Yeah, so it goes into effect in 2025-2026 season. It is a 3-year, $177 million contract extension, which is just under $60 million a year.
It's just incredibly bonkers. Because is that even technically a supermax?
Nope.
No, because the games played and everything, I don't think he qualifies for it because he didn't make any of the all NBA teams and whatnot, right?
Well, Supermax, you can only sign with your incumbent team.
So oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right.
Yeah,
right,
so he can't even get it from us.
Yeah, that's true. But still, like, that's just insane numbers. That's just absolutely ridiculous.
It's just the NBA now, too, which is wild.
It is. I constantly, during every free agency time, just like, oh, this guy will only sign for this much. And then it's like 5 to 10 million more than I expected. And I don't know where the money's coming from. It's just insane. Because, like, it's not like the salary cap is like gone up 100 million, you know, it's gone up, I think, since Merge and I, when we were potting, I think about like when KD went to the Warriors was like 108 million then. And now I think like the cap, like the hard cap is like what, 140 something?
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's gone up a bunch, obviously, but like, damn, that's a lot of money. So
yeah, when Desmond Bane is getting 60 million a year, there's some wild shit going on.
LaMelo got like his 200 mil contract mm-hmm. already. I mean, like
he's Halliburton, played, like, Tyrese Halliburton.
Halliburton, yeah. So
Jaylen Brown.
Oh my word. Yeah, Jaylen Brown is now the new Mike Conley, where he is the highest paid player in the NBA, and everyone's like, how the hell did that happen?
Yeah.
Got paid all that money, and that dude still doesn't have a left hand. Let's go ahead and talk about this though. AD, a lot of money. I think the most important thing this does though is secures the Lakers' future after LeBron, you know, moves on, whether he signs somewhere else to play with, you know, Bronny for a year or whatever, or if he ends up just retiring. I think this is just the biggest aspect about it. I mean, obviously everyone pretty much knows that at this point, but yeah. You know, we haven't been able to record for a while. So Raj, I wanted you were the one that keeps saying before we started recording that you had like questions and whatnot from us about it. You're the like the Lakers man at this point. We're just like the, you know, we're waiting for you to answer everything.
Yeah, I'm sure. No, I think obviously it's great. This is just par for the course. When you have a superstar, you extend them at their max. There was going to be no negotiation. Mm-hmm. I think Rich Paul talked about that as well. If you get Anthony Davis, you obviously sign him with the season he had. My most interesting thing about this, though, and I'll ask you guys this, just diving into it, because obviously from the surface level, it's a great decision. You want to lock up AD. But I think like Anthony Davis's like his offense, like what it's been from when he came to the Lakers to what it is now, I think that's an interesting kind of question where I think what you put next to him matters. Like, I think the guard or the wing that you pair with Anthony Davis, obviously now you have the superstar, that's the foundation. But I think, like, who you put with him matters. And, like, can he – like, people have said this where it's LeBron handing the torch to Anthony Davis. I, number one, don't think that ever is going to happen while LeBron is playing. I don't think torches are handed, they're taken. And I don't think Anthony Davis is really pulling his hand out to take that torch. So, I mean, torch, I mean by, like, offensive kind of initiator engine. Do you guys think that matters, though, like, going forward? You just play, you just said that LeBron might go play with his son. I just don't see that happen.
I don't think so, but it's just something that's talked enough about that, you know, kind of have to throw it out there. As for seizing the torch or, you know, whatever, I agree with you.
As the next number one guy, basically.
Yeah, it, like, does AD have that potential? Absolutely. It does also require him to be able to shoot the mid-range better. This year, it felt like it wasn't that great. And then and then stretch it out to at least the corner three. And this year, it was just non-existent. So without that, like, it's really hard because, like, go look at the centerpiece centers nowadays. You know, Jokic is able to spread the floor. The other guy you could throw in there is Embiid. He can every once in a while. I'm also extremely low on Joel Embiid compared to most of NBA Twitter. Like, don't get me wrong, really, really good player. But I also don't think that you're winning a title with him as your number one. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could be wrong about that, you know. But, like, he's now had, you know, Jimmy Butler next to him and James Harden, who ever knows what the hell is happening with that. And they continue to flame out. So it's just... It's questionable for that. You don't want him going Joel Embiid with that, you know, of just focusing down low. That's not the NBA game anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be able to spread the floor. And if that shot is just so non-existent, it is a concern that I totally get. Now, he is going to make all that money. And I don't think like AD is going to, you know, stop caring and not playing and everything like that, or trying to improve his game. But I do understand where you're saying that it now matters. Like when the Lakers first traded for him, it was like, who gives a shit? It's AD. He can do everything on offense, everything on defense. And then last year he was more almost like just traditional big man that was just athletic, you know? Mm-hmm. So that means that you need more shooters around him, not just, you know, and guys that can shoot better, not just like a guy that, you know, everyone liked, Torian Prince, you know, who's like a 35, 36% 3-point shooter. That's fine. And there's value to that. But like, if AD isn't able to spread the floor, you need guys that are hitting 38 to 40+%, you know, you need your star wing creator, point guard creator, whatever, to be able to then spread the floor a lot more as well. So, no, I totally agree with you on that. What do you think, Merge?
Yeah, so how I see this team going, and I'm not saying this player specifically in terms of, like, who you're pairing AD with after LeBron goes, but I think it's someone that has to be in the mold of a Luka Doncic. And I know that's easier said than, you know, there's only one Luka, obviously. But it needs to be a bigger guy who can create his own shot and can distribute a little bit. Like, he doesn't need to be the all-world playmaker that Luka is, but he also can't be like Jason Tatum, you know, in terms of his playmaking. Because Tatum, as much as I love him, and I would love for him to be on the Lakers at some point, he just isn't the number one creator. At least not at this point in time.
I don't know if I entirely agree with that.
He can't really create for others. And that's my biggest issue with Tatum being like the obvious number one guy on a team. And I know he technically is with the Celtics right now, but Jaylen Brown helped a lot. As much as we clown him for not being able to dribble, he was a top tier scorer just off of pure scoring. He's a really good scorer.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That team is surrounded with guys like a Malcolm Brogdon when healthy, who's a good shooter. I got a Derek White who really stepped up with them, who's also a pretty good ball handler as well. Marcus Smart, who is an underrated playmaker. So, like,
Al Horford, who can
who is a very good playmaker for a big man. There's a lot of guys like that who are surrounding him, so it needs to be someone of that ilk. And maybe they try and get a Trae Young, which I'm not totally against, honestly. I know his pitfalls. He's not a defender. Period. He never will be. But he is a guy who can get hot at a drop of a hat, and is arguably the best playmaker in the league just off of pure ability to pass the ball. That's the type of guy I see them going with, because I just don't, unless AD goes to like the route of like a Hakeem Olajuwon, Tim Duncan, and just really starts working on that post game and really starts hitting those mid-range numbers like both of them did. And I bet if both of them played in today's time at their peak, they would be shooting threes as well. Like an Olajuwon, like a Duncan. So it's a no brainer. Like you're not gonna not sign AD to that.
Sure.
Because worst case scenario, when LeBron leaves and let's say his athleticism falls off a cliff in 2 years, and he doesn't like improve his actual skill. Not that he isn't skilled, but like his actual like not just like bullying guys or just dunking over a guy type of stuff. Worst you can do is you can trade him to a team who it can buy themselves into thinking that AD can do what he used to do and get and recoup the asset somehow. In the grand scheme of things, I do think the Lakers have set themselves up pretty well for what they've been provided in terms of youth movement. Obviously, Austin Reeves is such a massive find for the Lakers just for this season and just for the next 5 to 10 years. Guys like Rui Hachimura, Jalen Hood-Schifino, Max Christie, Jared Vanderbilt, if they sign to extension, Maxwell Lewis, on and on. Like, that's huge. Like, they have a lot of really good young pieces who they can put around AD. But in the future, it needs to be AD kind of going into that sort of Olajuwon Duncan kind of mold offensively, or you pair him with a Luka Doncic, with a Donovan Mitchell, with a Trae Young, like along those lines of offensive players.
I think that's like the most Laker thing ever, to be like, yeah, Jason Tatum, nah, I'm good. Like, no, don't, I need something better, again, someone better than Jason Tatum.
I'm not saying I won't take Jason Tatum, because I absolutely 100% will. I'm a huge Tatum fan. But I think ideally, if you're trying to pair a superstar or a star or an all-star with Anthony Davis, it needs to be a guy who can create for others.
Right. Well, to me, like, I need that, but I also just need a guy who can pull up from three, right? Like, he needs to be a threat off the dribble, and Tatum at least feels that.
That's fair.
Yeah, and look, AD's probably the best. I think he's the best defensive player in the world, so that's probably worth anyway, just having that. Plus, like, he averaged 26 a game last year. It's not like he couldn't score. It's just like the late game stuff to me. That's like when you think about what a star's role is on a team, like, One of the big asks of a superstar is get your basket, right? When it's time, like when it's winning time, you have to be able to score. And I think there's just not enough possessions, because Clay, you just talked about the jumper going away. He shot 25% from three last year. The season before was at 18%. His attempts are lower than one a game. The mid-range shot comes and goes way too much. And to me, like, if you can't shoot from outside the paint, then it's very hard to be an offensive threat late in games. And that's like my only thing with him. Like, I want him at least to be a guy you can give the ball to, who can draw to. He's not going to be the best passer in the league, but at least make plays out of that. And that's my concern.
I want 2019-2020 AD back. That's
which is what I think they might be trying to replicate with, when we'll talk about Christian Wood later and a Jackson Hayes, two guys who could play the five in theory and allow AD to play four more.
But for that to work, AD has to have a jump shot. That's legit.
If the jump shot isn't there, a lot of this falls apart. And then his quote unquote desire to be a four doesn't fucking matter, because if you can't fucking shoot, it doesn't matter. You're going to have to find guys that can shoot then around you and spread the floor to give you space. And if you're not going to spread the floor, that's just a reality. And you're going to have to bang down low with bigger guys and suck it up. You know, it's something that I have said since the Lakers traded for AD, is he's going to have to continue to develop his outside game. he cannot just think that he can win inside if he wants to play the four. And at this point, I wonder if he's developed his body so much, so like with lifting weights and everything, that he isn't really going to be made for to be a four.
He's, you know, really, he fluctuated a lot since the championship year.
He has. It's really, it's his body comp is really weird, you know, because like he's still obviously ridiculously long and lanky, but like he's added muscle and he doesn't move as fluidly as he did in 2023. I mean, that was also, you know, three, four That's years ago. So, yeah. You know,
yeah, he was 26.
Yeah. You know, so instead of 30, so like his, he's going to be coming down now from his athletic prime, you know, yep. Like I think that's something that it's going to have to be accepted. Like, not like, and people can say, well, LeBron's
an alien. Also,
he's, yeah, that dude is full blown, like Superman, true, like alien. Like it doesn't, the rules don't play with LeBron. LeBron makes the rules, you know, it's just absolutely ridiculous. So, you know, like if, and honestly, like him being able to spread the floor would probably help him as well. So then he's not having to bang down low on offense and defense,
which is why I bring up a Elijah Wan and Duncan type of trajectory and getting guys like that. And I know that that's obviously Duncan and Elijah Wan have a lot better touch in terms of jump shots, but like, somewhere in the middle, like you're never gonna get that, like that Duncan who's like automatic from mid range, or same with Elijah Wan. He's never gonna get to that point, but like it can't be like one of the worst volume mid range jump shooters in the league, like he has been.
No. But his jump shot too just looks too good to not go in at the rate it does. Like Tim Duncan had a little bit of a weird shot.
Elijah Wan. That's all I have to say is Anthony Brown.
Yeah, Anthony Brown also, beautiful jump shot that never went in, but Anthony, he's not Anthony freaking Dave.
I understand, but this, whenever the argument of is the shot looks too pretty or too smooth or too whatever to go not fall, that shit happens, you know? Yeah. Like,
but what I'm saying is that wasn't the case. Like, I remember, and it's not just the jump shooting to me, because that obviously is the final domino that fell. But to me, like this affects his whole game. This affects how much he handles the basketball. Too much now, like he gets the rebound and he'll like go look for, my Austin, goodness, Patrick LeBron. Beverly. Like, yeah. You know, oh, what God, I mean? Like, yeah. Or, yeah. So yeah. Like, so it's like he's averaging 11 boards a game. Get the ball and go. Like, no one can stop you in transition. But instead, he's getting the ball looking for LeBron. I'm like, Anthony Davis, you have a handle. Like, I remember going watching his Pelicans, not the series he played against the Pelicans against Portland when he was on the Pelicans. And like a lot of that was like handle, you know, stepping back on Nurkic, driving by, just being a force in that way. And I think we've lost that. And I get like he's older now, but like he was 26 in that series. He's 29 or 30 now. It's not like that's a long time to really shift your body. I understand if he was like 21 to like 27, but like this isn't that long ago where he was a very fluid athlete. Like the thing that makes Anthony Davis special to me is the handle, is the jump shot, is the fluidity, being able to shoot floaters off the left and right hand. That's all gone if he has zero confidence in his jump shot. So that's the only thing I'd like to see. And I'm picking Harris here. Obviously AD obviously averaged 26 and 12, still was a monster last year, but like going forward, those are things I want to see from him. And I think those are real concerns as a guy that's going to be a cornerstone of your team.
I think there can be an argument made for the offenses he's been in since being on the Lakers. I think Darvin has a better offensive scheme than Vogel did, but that's kind of a low bar, because Vogel just didn't have an offensive scheme to, like, really. It was just LeBron and AD go do stuff kind of a thing. What I want to see them implement more, and this is going to be a funny comparison just hearing it, but I don't know if you guys remember the offenses they would run in the summer league with Colin Castleton. When Colin Castleton was essentially the center of the whole offense at that like 3-point, like free throw line of three, the 3-pointer kind of area, and all the offense ran through him. I think AD is actually a pretty underrated passer for what he's shown. I think he can make passes like that, and you saw Castleton a lot dribbling the ball, going off the dribble, attacking a little bit, hitting guys like little alley-oop sort of things or little passes down low. I think AD can replicate that. And I think maybe it not being the main offense, but like run some sets like that. Get AD the ball more. Get him going downhill with the ball in his hand, because if he's has a full head of steam with his even now athleticism, and if that touch can return, then like that changes the offense so much, especially with a guy like Austin Reeves, who is potentially turning into a off the dribble pull up threat. Mm-hmm. And you know, adding some shooters, if Rui is, you know, the shooter that we think he can be, if Max Christie shows what he's shown in the small sample size in the first season and the summer league, like it just opened up a lot. If AD can, if you use AD a lot more as a ball handler, I feel.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I want to see too. And I think, you know, the Lakers shifted after February to like a high pick and roll kind of offense. And to your point, mm-hmm. merge on like Trae Young. Obviously, none of our guards are Trae Young, but I think like that kind of gives you the vision of what they believe this team like could be once it's AD's team. Because I think they're kind of expecting LeBron not to be as much in the ball handler role during the regular season. You get guards like Gabe Vincent, D'Lo, obviously Austin. They're kind of in that just pick and roll guards, right? Kind of in the Trae Young yelp. And I think like that's where the team probably is heading. But I do think you're right though. Like a little bit more playmaker, giving the ball a little bit more when it's not just pick and roll on the roll, because he's not popping anymore. Doesn't want to shoot the ball. So I'd like him to kind of get it on the top. But I think he believes he's a post-up guy. Like, I think that's what he likes. He wants to be in the post. I think, like, that's where he's most comfortable. So we'll see how the team runs with that. But I think that's where he wants to be, at least. Like, he wants to be a post-up, kind of back-to-the-basket kind of guy, when I think, like, that's kind of lost when you don't have a jump shot. So.
It's also just not today's NBA.
No, it's not.
Mm-hmm. It's a skill that is good to have, but it is not something that you should be using with super high frequency. Kind mm-hmm. of the argument with the mid-range. You know, mid-range is way more valuable, I feel like, in the playoffs than it is in the regular season. Mm-hmm. But like, if you're using it a lot, you are going to be considered an inefficient player, you know?
That's also it's important in the playoffs, but like, it's also only important in the playoffs in the last like 5 minutes of the game as well. So and like 20%, 10% of a basketball game in the playoffs.
Exactly. It's also kind of only for like those super duper stars, you know, of KD, for example, of like that dude is the most ridiculous mid-range guy on the planet. Like it's like a guaranteed bucket. So, mm-hmm. you know, But because he has that skill, he's able to then step back three, you know, mm-hmm. he's able then to drive it. He's able then to post up. If you don't have that mid-range even capability for a big man at this point, like, yeah, you can be efficient because you're just dunking everything or laying everything up. But like, you know, he doesn't have, you know, the quote unquote most unstoppable shot in the world that, you know, in the history of basketball on the skyhook, you know, like it's just.
Or like a Dirk post fade type of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, and it's just, you also can't say that you want to be the four and then be a post up big. Like it, you just can't, it doesn't compute.
Yeah.
You know, like it doesn't work like that. That's not how the NBA works. You can't have two guys down on the block. Like, you did him in the 90s, you know, like it's just.
And I think we saw the most fully realized version of what AD wants to be in that bubble run, obviously, but he's also nuclear from mid-range during that whole run. So it really hinges on that mid-range jumper falling that off, you know, that little off the dribble pull-up jumper that he was doing in the playoffs, like in the bubble at that, and he was draining them. So it has to get to a point where it doesn't even have to be nuclear like that. It just has to be serviceable, and it hasn't been serviceable since the bubble.
No, but what Clay said earlier too, like it's the corner three as well. You go back and watch those bubble highlights, like his corner threes were massive. Like they were huge. He hit huge ones down the stretch late in games, and it also was vital for our spacing, right? Like you had LeBron out there with Caruso, as much as we love Caruso. Obviously sometimes it was Danny Green. You had another big out there and you had AD, or maybe it was Markieff Morris, but like AD being able to space into those corners gave LeBron driving lanes, gave our offense some juice in a, you know, tough one with Vogel. But like, that's to me the big thing that's gone, and like removing that out of the picture makes life so hard. We were like the worst half court offense team last year, even in the playoffs, awful half court offense team. because we just don't have space inside. Because AD couldn't shoot. LeBron shot like 15% on jump shots in the playoffs. And then
Austin was like the only one who's consistently good at shooting the three. And kind of Rui, but he didn't have the volume to make you consider.
Rui had the Memphis series. D'Lo had the first two rounds. I think he shot okay, and obviously in the conference finals. But yeah, like to me, AD being able to shoot just opens up such a window for our playbook if he can come back with just a respectable corner three. Like that's all. Doesn't even need to be the wing one. Doesn't need to take, you know, transition threes or anything like that. Just be respectable where guys have to guard you, and I think that would help a ton. So we'll see if he comes back with that.
I also, and this kind of goes in the armchair psychology, and it's probably stupid me of even bringing it up, but like, how many stars take a lot of corner threes?
That's, I mean, unless you're like Steph Curry,
but Steph is literally shooting from everywhere from behind.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, so like other than him, a lot of it feels like with a lot of stars, they want to do above the break.
Yeah.
And, you know, they want that wing that straight away.
It just looks and cooler.
It's stupid, yeah. But it's true. So that's just kind of my thing of like the corner three is one of the most efficient shots in basketball. You know, if you're shooting, you know, even like 36 or 37% from three in the corner, that's better than getting a 50% layup, you know? So like, it's just, it does make me wonder of like, why doesn't he shoot there? Cause it doesn't seem like he shoots there very often, you know, like his biggest three that we can remember, you know, in the time in LA was that one against Denver in
the catch and shoot
was above the break, you know. I personally also remember when he was in New Orleans and they were playing the Warriors and he had that corner three. So I'm just like, you have had those moments. It just seems like so many guys. I mean, like LeBron, how often does he take a corner three? I always like it's the meme of the internet of where he does that stupid little like look fake step and then just like slight step back, you know? And that's, I think, just, I don't know. Maybe, like I said, maybe it's stupid. It's just something that I thought of, and it could be 100% off base. It just seems, I can't remember last time he took a corner three even, you know. It always seems like that was what he wanted to do, was the above the break stuff. Maybe it's easier to get back on defense for him as well, since he doesn't have to go the whole length of the floor, but I don't know.
You know, it's funny, and it's mainly because of the amount of games and seasons and threes he's shot, but LeBron is eighth all time in made corner threes, which is very funny. I mean, but it's also, I understand.
Whatever.
That's my point. But it is funny because I wanted to see who was up there. It's like Steph Curry, Ray Allen, James Harden, Reggie Miller, Kyle Korver, like all time shooters.
The James Harden one surprises me actually.
Yeah, he's third all time.
Yeah, I mean that for him, it's also just an insane amount of volume. Like it is. He's not honestly the world's best shooter.
The percentage is 36% from that corner for him.
Yeah, so it's like it's fine. It's just that the volume is just stupid. All right, let's go ahead and move on. This is, I think, one of the biggest reasons I don't give a shit about FIBA basketball. But Raj has a sick addiction and he really, really cares. So that was why I really wanted to bring Raj on to talk Austin on the USA run. Obviously, technically finishing fourth, which I don't care. Like, I'm not patriotic really at all, which is hysterical. But you know, I will say the bits that I saw from Austin, he looked good. He showed skills that he showed in the playoffs. And it was hysterical, the amount of just amount of bitching and crying from NBA Twitter when, like, if there was stars, he wouldn't play. Well, where the fuck were the stars? Brandon Ingram was dog shit.
He was number two on the team in scoring behind Edwards. Yeah.
This is also from a guy who has loved Brandon Ingram since before he even truly enrolled in Duke. Like, just no. He was awful, but Ant is that dude. Also, love that guy since before he enrolled in Georgia. So, so you guys can take it away on that one.
We didn't even meddle in that. Like, that's That's wrong. I'm sorry. Like, you can't. I know you guys weren't watching. I was up at 5:40 a.m. Sometimes 1:40 a.m. for those games, watching and, you know, trying to trying to analyze what was going on. First few games were kind of blowouts. I'm gonna give Brandon Ingram a little bit of slack here because, you know, I think that was a little harsh. I think he was in the starting lineup to me with Jalen Brunson and Anthony Edwards and like and Jaren Jackson Jr., who forgot how to play offensive basketball. And it's like there's only one ball and like five guys who need it. And I thought Brandon just did not fit that at all. And it wasn't just him. Like, it was when Austin and Haliburton, and that's the guy I really want to ask you guys about because I'm fascinated of Haliburton. I think Haliburton's stock rose the most besides Anthony Edwards this summer. But when Austin and Haliburton came in, they changed the game. Did you guys watch any of the recordings of the show? No? Okay.
The main things I watched were like clips on Twitter and then like Austin Reeves only highlights.
Okay. All right. So I guess I'll fill in the blanks here. So like when Austin and Haliburton came in, they would functionally change how the game played. So like USA had got out to a lot of slow starts. So it'd be down like 10, 12 every game. And then Austin and Haliburton would come in and absolutely just change it from a one-on-one ISO. Cause that's the game of Jalen Brunson. That's the game of Anthony Edwards. It's a very isolation heavy attack. Steve Kerr tried to put those guys in motion offense. And they were like, screw you. We're not running motion offense. We're running pick and roll and isolation attacks. But Austin and Haliburton ran the Steve Kerr kind of, we're going to run the ball. We're going to move it. We're going to attack in transition. And then to me, it was fun watching Austin with a guard like that. And biggest thing for me with him, and I'll ask you guys this, I was expecting more of this, like, happy to be there. Like Walker Kessler, right? Walker Kessler was a rookie coming into Team USA. Walker Kessler had this, when he watched the games at least, had this kind of, I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy they invited me on the team. That was not Austin Reaves at all. He was, I believe, the third best player on the team. I think it goes Anthony Edwards, Mikal Bridges, and Austin to me was the third best player. You could throw Haliburton in there as well. I think Austin scored more. Haliburton had more assists, so those are kind of a tie. But I was expecting that, and that's not what happened. A lot of flashy passes, a lot of tie game. Steve Kerr runs the action for Austin to get the ball. A lot of stuff like that to me was, like, fascinating. And I'm a super big believer in the Team USA leap. Like, I think that's a big jump. You watch Donovan Mitchell, I think, had it. You go out, look at other guys who played in Team USA. They made big jumps in their career after playing there.
Lamar Odom, he won Sixth Man of the Year after he did it.
Exactly, yes. But I guess, like, would you guys be surprised at that? Because I was. I was surprised that Austin came into that and was like, no, like, I'm one of the best players here. And I was expecting more of, like, a happy to be here type. Because the other guys are guys who are already on their max deals. None of them, I think, made the All-Star team. But a lot of guys who are very much.
I think Haliburton did.
Okay, so a few All-Stars and Haliburton. But, like, I was expecting that, and that's not what I got. Austin was one of the best players. He was aggressive. He was himself. He was more of a ball handler than even he was on the Lakers for the first half of the season. They gave him the ball. He ran the action. They put Haliburton in corners, let him run pick and roll. And if you go watch the highlights that I try to post at 6 in the morning, like, he would actually have, like, a bunch of sick bounce passes. The off-the-dribble shooting was there. He was shooting, like, 50% on off-the-dribble jump shots. Like, that's the stuff to me that shocked me and had me excited. But I'm disappointed we lost, for sure. I'm disappointed that we got kicked out.
It doesn't surprise me that Austin was like that. It's kind of been his MO his whole career. He has the confidence of a guy who is one of the best guards in the league. And I'm not saying he is currently, but, I mean, would you be surprised if in 2 years we said he was a top three shooting guard in the league? I just don't think it'd be that big of a surprise, honestly. Like, the work ethic is there. I think shooting guard is also a very shallow position just in general. There's only a couple of actually really good shooting guards. But, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like there's a lot of, like, if you look at, like, some podcasts or, like, articles about, like, oh, who could be a breakout player or, oh, who can win, like, most improved player, stuff like that. They talk about Austin, but really I don't think Austin is really a breakout guy for me, because we kind of saw a lot of that in the second half of the season and in the playoffs. I more so just see more of the same than just a higher volume of it. There's been a lot of talk about him potentially just being the main ball handler in that starting lineup, which really I kind of agree with. Much as I like D'Lo, and I think D'Lo's probably the better playmaker overall, I just think good things happen when Austin has the ball in his hands.
whether that be he draws a foul or he hits a really good bounce pass or he's able to hit it off the dribble three, he's able to make and one, stuff like that. There's an argument that Austin should also be the main ball handler when you go down the stretch in games. We saw a lot LeBron handling the ball to end games, and one of two things would happen. He would shoot a stupid step back three, which never went in. I don't know if I know one LeBron step back end of game three that went in, or he drives into traffic. And that's just because LeBron doesn't have that kind of juice anymore, which is fine. Give the ball to Austin. Get the ball to your other ball handlers who can make plays, even like a D'Lo who didn't turn. He wasn't a high turnover guy.
I also think that traffic was there just because the shot wasn't there in the playoffs. He just from that foot, also because of the foot issue, he had an issue with that. So he just didn't have the burst that he normally would have to.
Definitely. And maybe that changes with, you know, a whole offseason of healing it, whatever, you know, off market stuff.
Germany stem cell.
Whatever, the amount of Germany trips he's taken, amount of cryos sessions he has, whatever. Maybe that changes. And sure, yeah, I mean, because we saw LeBron for that like month stretch, right when he turned 38, when he was like the best player in the league for that stretch, which was putting like 35 a game up until he broke the scoring record. So I still think LeBron has that kind of gear in him. Like, he's still a top five, top 10 player in the league. Like, that's obvious, but like, he's not the best player in the league anymore. And that's obvious as well. So having Austin kind of alleviate that stuff along with a D'Angelo, along with a Gabe Vincent, if he can contribute on that, it's going to help a lot just in general for LeBron going into the regular season. Going into the playoffs, I've seen people do like their rotation kind of like minutes distribution stuff. I've seen a lot of LeBron at 32 minutes. I don't buy that personally. Same with AD. I saw AD at like 32 minutes as well. I just don't buy that. I know we have depth. That's just not the players they are in terms of minutes. At 34 is kind of where I see LeBron's floor in terms of minutes. And with this new whatever rule they're having with stars sitting, I don't know how that's going to affect the Lakers.
That shit's going to be interesting.
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, and maybe because the Lakers, LeBron and AD just miss games too off of actually being injured, which might kind of help in like, look, AD looks like he gets a season-ending injury every time he's on the court. That's just what AD what happens to AD.
He is a quote unquote bad faller.
Yes, he's a. Remember when Roy Hibbert would fall every game?
Oh God! And it looked like he was about to die. Yeah.
It's like that to a much lesser extent. Yeah. So sorry, bringing this back to Austin and Clayton. You can have your piece on Austin next as well. I just think he's a guy that's going to pretty consistently put up like a 19-5-5 on this team on good efficiency. And even when he's not shooting the ball efficiently, he's just a guy that is always going to be making plays. He's not a guy that's going to be. I'd be shocked to have a game where if you watch the whole game and you're like, oh, I had no clue Austin even played. Like, that would shock me if he didn't make an impact every game. So yeah, that's where I'm at with Austin. I don't know if I'd say, like, I've seen some like all-star talk at some point, maybe down the line. I've seen some most improved player. I don't really care about that. It'll probably go to a guy. It'll probably go to a second year or a third year guy who all of a sudden gets 25 points. So who would have known a lottery pick from 2 years ago who was good the first 2 years all of a sudden is good. Yeah, that's what happens. Play development, guys. Anyway, I don't care about the all-star stuff. I don't care about the award stuff for Austin. It'll be cool if he gets it, but like, he's just that steadying force for the team that is going to consistently be one of the best players on the team.
Real quick, Raj had talked about how Jalen and Ant just kind of did whatever they wanted to do because that's just what they do. They're also both kind of, even though Jalen Brunson is in the body of a point guard, that dude thinks of himself as like a 2-3.
Yeah.
He
thought he was still on the Knicks. Like, pass the ball.
Jaylen. Yeah. God. Yeah. No. So he thinks of himself as such. So he's not going to do that. While Tyrese and and Austin are Austin's like essentially a point guard at heart still. You know, yeah. he did that a lot at Wichita and Oklahoma before, you know, going to the Lakers. So that honestly doesn't surprise me. As for the attitude, also doesn't surprise me. That dude was the third best Laker on the team with LeBron and Anthony Davis. He doesn't give a fuck who else was on the court, because the only one that can even touch those guys at the moment would be Ant. So, you know, like him just taking over in moments didn't surprise me really at all. I do think I will say, even though I literally do not care about international basketball, I didn't watch a single second of it other than like the clips that Raj would put up. I agree with you that him playing in that environment with those guys and everything is important for him, and I do think that we could see a boost. Now, Merge said like the top three shooting guard. I think it's a little high for me. Mm-hmm. But like
at a certain point, I'm not saying like immediately, but I'm just saying
but also like technically Devin Booker is still a point or a shooting guard. You know, Anthony Edwards is technically a two, I believe. He's a 6'5" guy, you know, so like they're gonna classify him as such. And you know, off the top of my head, that's really the two that first came to mind. I'm sure there's plenty of guys that I'm forgetting, obviously.
I think it's like Donovan Mitchell.
Donovan, too. he plays kind of like a wing-ish. He doesn't play point guard. So like, yeah, I mean, I think it would be hard for him to crack that, but like a top seven, and how you said like 19-5-5, I don't think that'll be a season average, but like I wouldn't be shocked if that is something that we do see on a consistent basis. Like he didn't, like, you know, all the Lakers essentially turned into ass against Denver, but before that, like, it was just they were all phenomenal, you know, those first two rounds. So it was just he never really came off other than just that round. And I think it was, as we said at the time, they had been playing playoff games since the trade deadline. So, you know, they had to, you know, essentially play for playoff lives, and that took a toll very clearly. That takes a toll mentally, physically, everything. So it hurt to see them get swept like that, but you know, didn't, after everything, looking back at it, didn't surprise me. But you know, Austin continuing to play off of those highs and not fading into the crowd, not shocking at all.
Yeah. You said 19-5-5. Like, in my opinion, if the Lakers are the 1-2 seed and a 19-5-5, that's an all-star. Like, that's like Wiggins all-star numbers last year or 2 years ago. So like, I think that could probably get you in the conversation.
My problem with that is will he get that from others though? He'll get the LA boost from fans. There's, but with the fan vote being like 50% or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, you still have players and coaches and media that factor into that. And I just don't know if you're going to get that from everyone else.
I think coaches,
players is interesting because there was a lot of player talk, but, like positive talk about Austin from the players, like a Bridges, like a Halliburton.
Is that going to matter to literally everyone else?
Which is fair, you know? But like that's like you're arguably your next
also,
like
also then like then if you guys. if you go because of how the All-Stars are done, it's, you know, guard, wing, big, right?
I think it's guard wing.
I think it's just guard forward now. I don't think
guard forward. In the West, like, he's going to be going up against, you know, De'Aaron Fox. He's going to go against a Steph Curry, a Booker, a Beal, a Klay Thompson, technically.
Sure.
Might be a forward. It just depends on how they list him, you know, and that would just be more of because, like, you know, he's been there forever.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have Desmond Bane. You're going to have Ja Morant. You're going to have this guy. You're going to have that guy. You know, it's a numbers game. And that's just kind of where I'm just like, I don't know about that. But as Merge said, I don't I don't care about awards like that. I know a lot of fans really do. What I think that by the end of this season, everyone will look at that contract that he got, which was what, 456?
Absurd.
456. Absurd. Yeah. That everyone will be like, holy crap, the Lakers got a steal for that.
Man, it's already it was that before this. I don't
know before. I agree.
I don't know how people don't see that though.
I think someone like the Spurs are gonna be like, dude, we fucked up by not trying to throw a 4-100 at him. I think that the Spurs are honestly probably kicking themselves at it already. Just because, you know, the Lillard and Harden sweepstakes never materialized. Yep. So they couldn't facilitate something. You know, that's just kind of, you know,
we would have matched that.
I agree. I think they would have, but I'm just saying
on the Lakers is the main thing.
Yeah, to make the Lakers pay. That's I think where some teams are going to be like, oh fuck, we really messed up on that one.
Yep.
So
right, and then the last thing on his FIBA last two games were the most. I know you guys didn't watch, but they were like close and intense. They were the game against Germany, which knocked us out, and then the game against Canada to win bronze that we lost as well. Austin in both of those games, 21 points, 23 points, shot 9 for 14 from the field, shot 5 for 10 from three. Like, he was their best offensive player in both of those games, and those teams ball pressured us and we really had no answer, because our guards aren't really those type of guards, like Brunson, Haliburton. They kind of had some issues with the physical ball pressure, and I know no one really cares if USA lost, but like, to me, it's Austin Reeves off the dribble shooting. Like, if that is real, that is it. Like,
it's massive.
The 17-19 points to me is kind of like, you can throw that out. He's gonna average some good scoring margin, but like, to me, if the off the dribble shooting is real, because that's the last piece to me. Like, I think he has the off the dribble threes. Sorry, like, to me, like, he was hitting step. Like, go watch the highlights, guys. I promise they're enjoyable. Like, he has like step backs over like defenders all in his grill. He has like clean ones in the corner. He has off like screen left to right crossover step back threes. Like, it's not just like, I think the vision people have is like, he was a spot up player on this Team USA team, and that is not the case at all. He had the ball in his hands, making dudes fall, making dudes touch the floor. Like, he had
what Austin has done in his development is that he has fully combined his Oklahoma and Wichita times. He has become the shooter that he was at Wichita, and he has become the ball handler that he was at Oklahoma, and the quote unquote free throw merchant. They were still calling those fouls in FIBA, guys. Which is absolutely hysterical when stars do that, you know, NBA Twitter jacks off in a massive circle jerk to it, you know, like James Harden with 15 free throws, you know, to, you know, the guy next to him. It's just ridiculous. But, you know, Austin gets 8 free throw attempts. They're like, free throw merchant. Like, oh my God, shut up, guys. Like, you're, yeah, whatever. But that's what it is. He has been able to develop both of those and join them. And the Lakers are going to reap the benefits of it, especially if it continues. I will say that I saw hysterically some people talking shit about Austin's defense when I did not watch. What it sounded like though is those final two rounds that or final two games, he was trying to defend guys that were like 6'8", 6'9", 6'10".
Dennis would beat him off the dribble, who is one of the fastest players in the NBA.
Yeah, yeah. Dennis is really fast. And also
Jackson Jr.'s job though. Like, that's like his job is to block those shots.
But the thing is, and I will say this with Jaren Jackson, that was one of the things. This was not a good setting for Jaren Jackson. It just outright wasn't. The thing is, it's not. If you go back and look at like Sam Vecenie with what he was talking about, like, there are too many big guys for him in Europe and everything.
Too many guys,
big guys. Yeah, sure. Like meaty guys. Jaren Jackson is a big man in name only. So like, he's he would like he would be considered a, like, even when he was drafted, it was kind of like, well, he's kind of a tweener. He's like the size of a center at 6'11", 6'10", but like he's lanky and, you know, thinner. So he's kind of like a four. So like he is essentially like a weird version of AD, you know, of that, except also Jaren Jackson can't grab a rebound to save his life. It's been like that since Michigan State, which has always been frustrating. Because
it's why Steven Adams is such a huge piece for them.
It's why Memphis will always have some sort of, you have to have some sort of elite big man rebounder. So, yeah, I'm done with USA talk.
I'll just close on this, because you mentioned that people are making fun of Austin for his defense. We were switching everything, which is a Steve Kerr staple, right? Switch defense, and then we just let our guys get cooked one-on-one. It wasn't just Austin, Jalen Brunson as well. We were just letting him get scored on one-on-one, and then Dennis Schroeder hit a step back mid-range jumper. That's the one everyone was going crazy over. You want Dennis Schroeder taking a step back.
It happened by Dennis Schroeder.
It also that happens. And Dennis Schroeder has been playing international FIBA basketball since he was probably like 14.
but that's the shot you want to give up, though. You want Dennis Schroeder step back. Yeah, like that's what the defense is supposed to do. But in any case, yeah, FIBA's over now. On to I know Clayton is excited for Olympics 2024 next year.
So I saw LeBron is supposedly going to be playing, and I just could not care less. I
don't want AD playing in the Olympics. Like, even if I cared about the Olympics, I care about the Lakers more.
They need him next year.
The Lakers need him more.
I don't give a flying fuck about Team USA. I just hate when my favorite team's players play in any sort of sport or exhibition games. Like I don't care. I don't play in the All-Star games for all I care as well. Like I don't want it. Like, just no. In that off chance something happens. So I don't think I have watched Olympic basketball since I watched Vince Carter dunk over that dude when he was, you know, that 7 foot.
Not even the Redeem team.
Fuck that, dude. I don't care. My opinion is of the Olympics, like FIBA's what, truly whatever. If Team USA does not win the Olympics in basketball, it's hysterics. I all I'm going to do is joke about it, because like, one, it doesn't matter, and two, like, you have the by far the best players on the planet. You know, accumulated talent. Like, you can say like Jokic is the top player in the NBA if you want, and I don't think many people would argue too strongly against. But he's only one dude. You know.
Yeah.
So I'm not really worried about that, when you should have essentially both of your all star teams for the most part. You know. So like, I don't care. If they lose the Olympics, it's hysterical, and I will be popping off more jokes than whoever were to actually beat them. So, all right. We were going to talk about possible two guard rotation, but we'll save that for another time. We are going to talk about the one that Lakers Twitter just, man, they've been pining for Christian Wood. And if you would have told me, four or five years ago, I was on the same train. I really liked Christian Wood coming out. How he was, I think he went undrafted even, and it just always was just like, I never understood it. I saw the offensive potential. I saw the defensive potential, and I don't know if he realizes his own defensive potential either, but he's kind of turned into someone that quote unquote hoops fans love, because he's a bucket getter. He has an offensive skill set that's really good. I mean, what is he like? He averages like 18 and 5 or something like that. Like,
yep,
it's really good. But then, like, when the Dallas Mavericks are sitting him as essentially like a healthy scratch at the end of the season, when they desperately need big men and big men spacing, kind of telling. So that's kind of my thing. I'm not surprised that he didn't get a bag. I'm not surprised by that at all. From things that I've heard, he is a problem in the locker room. Houston, like the Houston young guys when he was there 2 years ago, were mad at him for not being a vet. The young guys were. Like, that was reported. That's not even something like that I've just heard. That was reported.
That's like, the thing with him. He's never even had like a vet like that. I think. Yeah. I mean, I think that plays into what I'll talk about later. But yeah, it's very funny looking towards Christian Wood for some help, in my opinion.
Yeah, like and I think it could provide valuable bench scoring and everything like that. But if you really think that he should be starting, then
man, that bothers me the most.
Yeah, as bad as the tweet that is going around on Lakers Twitter at this very moment, where
Drew Holiday trade.
Yeah. Where one said respect your elderly, but oh man, where did it go? Because that was just
at Laker Tom.
At Laker Tom.
Shout out Laker Tom, man.
Respect the elderly, but you're out of your GD mind. That's the one thing I don't curse. Yeah, that's that deal where he apparently wants to deal D'Lo, Rui, Austin, and a first for Drew Holiday and Bobby Portis. Where I saw someone say, and I totally agree with this, I would not trade Austin one for one.
Drew Holiday is talking about retiring after his contract is over.
Yeah, Drew Holiday shot less than 50%, a true shooting percentage of less than 50% in the playoffs, I think, last year.
So, I'll never look like, at him the same just, after Jimmy Butler bitched him. He bitched him in that series. Oh, God, he did not. God. He did disrespect him so hard.
One thing I will say, though, is that Jimmy Butler is just on a whole nother level when it comes to that shit.
Oh, he's a psycho, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That dude was charging other NBA players like $20 for a cup of coffee in the bubble. Like, that. Talk about a psycho. And the fact that people were paying it just shows that how stupid NBA players are. It's just incredible.
Get your bag, Jimmy. Get your bag.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just – yeah. It's just – with Chris – going back to Christian Wood, like, he's a bench guy. Like, that's all he is. And there's some value to it. But, like, him getting that minimum deal, or maybe it was slightly higher. I can't remember if it was slightly higher.
That was a minimum deal.
It was a straight okay.
2 year minimum deal.
Yeah. I mean, with a player option in the second, it's guaranteed. That deal's easily tradable. Like,
he's not signing this second year. Like, there's no
if he's bad, he will.
Yeah, but he's gonna get another minimum deal somewhere.
I agree. Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if, like, after December 15th, if we didn't see much of him after and he shipped off somewhere. Oh,
that's fascinating to me.
December 15th is the first day that he can be traded. Which is,
yeah, that means something went terribly wrong. To me, like, Christian Wood is it's fascinating because, like, he has stats that will tell you whatever you want them to tell you. Like, you can go to Christian Wood and you can find his numbers. He shot like 40% on catch and shoot threes. He averaged 17 and like six. He's one.
I think he made 100 on the year last year.
Mm-hmm. Over 100. Yeah, and like, he's one of the best pick and roll bigs in the league, and you have to kind of cut that out with he's playing with Luka Doncic, maybe the best pick and roll guard in the league. But anyway, he's one of the best pick and roll bigs in the league, and I think he has been also in Houston. But then you look at the on-off, and like, the team was worse with him. The team was better with Dwight Powell on the floor. So you can kind of separate the numbers however you want. For me, though, with him, like, I'm looking at him straight as a Anthony Davis is going to miss like 25 games. Like, I'm penciling that in. AD's going to miss like 20, 25 games. You have a guy that can at least come close to the offensive product. Like, if you, like, Christian Wood is a guy you can give volume to and he'll accept it, right? Like, you can give him volume and that's exactly what he wants. And you can at least give him some of the touches and stuff that we missed. When AD was out, we were a disaster defensively, but we were also awful offensively. We missed his pick and roll threat. We missed him as a post-up guy. And I feel like Wood can at least feel that. But I'm just, like, so torn on this. Like, Clayton, you said you're surprised he didn't get a bag. He didn't even get, like, wallet.
No. I'm not surprised he didn't get a bag.
I mean, you're not surprised. You're not surprised he didn't get a bag. Like, he didn't even get a wallet. Like, he got nothing. Like, he got the minimum.
He got his money in a brown sack. That's what it. That's right. What happened.
And like he's 27, doesn't really have injury issues. That's like super rare for a guy like this to just fall. Like I've seen it. I've seen some Laker people compare it to Dwight Howard. This is way different than Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard was like 34.
Dwight continued to get paid though. Like that was the thing. He got after Houston, he went to Atlanta and got
they're comparing paid. When he came to the Lakers, when Dwight Howard came to the Lakers.
But also Dwight Howard at that point was already 30.
That's what I'm saying.
Dick, so you know, not 27.
So that's
what I mean.
I made that comparison too, and I see it. I make the comparison purely off of mentality. All right, dude. That plus like, all right, dude, this is like your last chance. If he does not work out on the Lakers, he's the guy that you'll see get a 10-day contract every now and then, or get he'll play for a year.
He'll be in China or the Philippines, without a doubt, because Australia won't take him, and a lot of European teams also won't take that. He'll be over in China. He'll be the big man, Steph Marbury. Like it'll be that. That's his future. If he can't pull his head out of his ass.
It's a make or break year for his whole career, which is why I am more optimistic about the move itself, because I think this is the best possible situation in terms of like bet put around him.
Yeah.
Because I think LeBron and AD, if they buy into it, I know they weren't, it sounded like they weren't really pushing from
what we were told, it was a no go. So, and that he was still offered. And then he had turned it down, obviously, and then went back to it because he wasn't getting what he wanted.
So I think so. You have them two, and you have a cohesive team, like guys who have played together, who have camaraderie, like six or seven guys who are like eight guys, like that. And I think the culture itself is in a really good spot for the Lakers. That if he fucks up in this situation. And when you have LeBron offensively, you have an Austin Reeves who can, and you have a D'Angelo who can feed him. You have people who can feed him the ball and get him easy buckets, get him wide open, top of the key threes, corner threes, whatever that he can make, and we've seen him make. It's the perfect situation for him. If he is good, then he's a guy that you can put up there for 25 minutes a night, and the offense doesn't drop as much when AD is off the court. Or is hurt, like you said, it's more spacing for LeBron, for AD, if he wants to be in the post. Honestly, for me, I think he should, if AD is healthy, he should only be playing with AD, like for the most part, because I really don't want to see a unit with him and LeBron as the 5 and 4. I think that defensively is just rough. You'd have to put like Torian Prince and Jared Vanderbilt and like Gabe Vincent and Austin Reeves, like around the, like that definitely would have to be around him,
right?
To be like to make up somewhat defensively for what he is at the five. It can't be LeBron and him at the 4 and 5. And we know LeBron can't play the three really as much, or you don't want him playing the three as much.
Yeah,
he should be primarily playing with AD 15 to 20 minutes to start. He first needs to beat Jackson Hayes as well. I still think that's a thing that he needs to beat Jackson Hayes in camp. He needs to prove that he is more impactful than Jackson Hayes for this team. But if the best case scenario of this is just a guy who can eat innings, can make threes as a big, which is huge, and if he can buy in somewhat defensively, it's a guy that you can use as a switcher on, you know, that isn't AD, and you're not putting LeBron on guards, and you're not putting a Rui Hachimura on guards, who he isn't the best at defending on switches like that. It's like a three. I see the upside. So like I'm definitely more positive about it, but there's obviously I don't think a big negative, because I don't think he can drag the team down like that. So if he pulls something and he does something like he yells at people in the locker room, like he did in Houston, that he's getting cut the next day. Like some of that is not.
I think they'll just send him home, and then I don't know if about being cut, because it's fully guaranteed. Sure. So I think it would just be essentially salary ballast type thing. Or like, here, take this guy off our hands so you can have a top 50 protected pick or something, some nonsense like that. Like
pretty much. Know? Yeah. So,
and I think the team would be okay with that.
Yeah, but there's a downside in that, and maybe there's some locker room kind of poisoning. But even then, like, this isn't the same as the ref situation in general.
No.
Just because of like
the money he was making. But what I think winning solves a lot of this. Like, sure. So if the Lakers are good and start out hot, as I think they will, then Christian Wood's gonna shut up and sit on the bench because no one complains while the team is good. But if the team starts off slow,
unless you're Thomas Bryant.
Yeah, they weren't even. I mean, they weren't good though. They weren't good.
It's true. But he was wanting minutes even with a healthy AD.
Yeah, and he went to a team that has a center that's more healthy than AD. It doesn't make any sense. But
and also a guy who we can't play on the same court with.
Exactly. Yeah. So that trade request.
That was hysterical.
Yeah, it makes no sense. But yeah, with Christian Wood, I don't think he's going to complain if the team is good. What I do, like, he's going to say all the right things at preseason camp and in training camp and in the press conference. He's going to say, I'm here to rebound and screen and do whatever the team wants me to do. But, to me, make no mistake, I feel like the team is bad. He's not going to sit there on the bench, like, and not play and be okay with that. Like, I don't think that situation is going to happen. And, like, to me, I've heard this, like, it's no risk. Clay, you just said you can send him home. His position to me is important on this team. The guy who backs up AD is extremely important on team with Anthony Davis's ability to like sometimes get hurt in strange ways. Like, I feel like that position is extremely important, and to only have that guy be Jackson Hayes, like, that's concerning for me. Like, I like Jackson Hayes.
I'm gonna combat that. One, Christian Wood doesn't play defense. He has the ability to.
Absolutely not.
He just doesn't. Okay. Like, let's get that out of the way. I've seen people say like he can, like he will. He doesn't. He'll give effort. It's just that he doesn't know how to. No, he knows how to play defense. It was something that he was decent at UNLV. Not amazing, but like, you know, he has that capability. He just doesn't want to. That's part of why he was taken out of the rotation in Dallas, and also why he also started losing minutes even in badass Houston. So like, I'm not here to say like he's going to bring the team down. That's not what I'm saying. My thing is then like, if it's Jackson Hayes, then that's fine. We went with Winnie and Gabriel last year.
Yeah.
For a large chunk of the time. That
was
a disaster.
We were awful when AD was out.
And you'll still be fucking bad with Christian Wood. That's the thing. Like, you're still going, yeah, you might get points, but like you could score 18 and then give up 40. That's like, who's Christian Wood defending? Because he has not shown to play defense in several years. This is now his seventh team in 7 years. Like, if the dude played defense, he would be somewhere. You know, he would have gotten more than just the minimum. That's my thing. Like, I'm like, there's value in that. You know, you still have to score. You still have to be able to run a functional offense and everything. My thing is like with sending him home, Jackson Hayes, and call up Colin Castleton. Like,
there's always the trade deadline. And you could always be looking to trade D'Angelo Russell at a certain point this year.
There are several pieces on this team that can be moved. You know, mm-hmm. D'Lo, Gabe Vincent, you know, like, just pair him with one of them and you can go and get someone, you know, like it's not, you know, with those contracts, you can get someone decent enough on there. You know, you don't have to get a insane backup big, like, you just have to get someone serviceable, which is kind of why I was surprised they didn't try harder for JaVale McGee. But
He's a regular season signing though, right? Like, that Christian Wood is not a playoff.
No, for sure. Christian Wood probably, he probably does not play much in the playoffs.
Right, no. For sure. So I'm only speaking regular season. And to me, I just want to raise that floor, right? Like, that's all. I just don't want to go into when.
But you AD already comes talked out. About the. You already talked about the on off where the team was worse with him on the floor. That means he's literally not raising the floor. He's literally lowering it.
For sure. But also, when I look back and I watch the Dallas tape, Dallas also was extremely small everywhere. They had a lot of other issues too. Like, they don't have the roster that we have that we can at least mitigate some of his issues. And again, I'm not expecting Christian Wood to come and defend. I do hope that we have enough of a culture here where he can't just be a space cadet. Like, I hope that at least is there, where No. Christian Wood can't just give up layup lines. Like, you can be bad on defense and at least like have enough of a, like, he's still 7-1. Hopefully he can put his hands up.
He needs to try, period. Like, flat out. That's what needs to happen. Yeah. If he doesn't try, as we said, he's going to be playing in China next year. So it's up to him. Like, if he doesn't realize that by now, then, you know, there's a should already have gotten enough of a wake up call. Like, no team wanted to offer you more than the minimum. Like, literally no other team did it, because he would have taken it. It sounded like. So, you know, I I'm not here to say like he's going to make the team lose, you know, 5-10 games just by himself, like rusted.
Sure.
Like, I'm just saying, like, I don't think he really raises the floor. He potentially raises the ceiling, you know, if he gets it together, because like that offense repertoire is important. But also with Merge saying that he should only be playing with AD, we were just talking about how AD is kind of only a five now. You're going to have two fives on the floor, kind of. And yeah, you can spread the floor. You can spread the floor and you can do some things because it is AD. But like, what are we going to be trying to, like you said, AD is going to play 34 minutes. If that's the case where he's going to be playing 15 to 20 with Christian Wood, then I don't know. I mean, the rest of the time obviously could just go to Jackson Hayes, and that's totally fine, or Colin Castleton, because I think Castleton probably needs, you know, some time in the G League, which is fine with me. I think if Christian Wood didn't sign, that Castleton would have made the team out of camp, and that's why I was not stressing too much about this final big. I think with Phil Handy and Darvin Ham, that they will actually know how to use Jackson Hayes. He is a five. He is not a four, and he is not a three like New Orleans was trying with him. He is a uber athletic five who has some background issues, but trying to read into it, as everyone who's ever listened to this podcast knows, I hate domestic violence people. Trying to find stuff on it, because I tried to pull like a Taylor Swift fan and diving deep for all this crap. Like, it seems like it was more of just like a yelling match and like broke something in the house. That I can remember honestly off the top of my head. But you know, I think that there was a reason why Jackson Hayes was a top 10 pick. You know, he is that. He has that potential. He's still only 22. You can, if you just get him to do big man things, I think you'll be fine. You know, if we were able to tread water or just slowly sink with Winyan Gabriel, who was an undrafted guy who is 6'7" playing the big man, I think you'll be able to tread water at minimum with Jackson Hayes. Personally, I've always been a fan of him. Maybe I'm a little too much into that, but you know, I'm not too concerned about playing Christian Wood. If he does well, awesome. If he doesn't do well, deuces. You know, like, you have skills. I want you to be productive on the floor. You're on the team. I don't want you to be a negative. But like, if you're not going to listen, you're not going to do things that are required of a NBA player on, you know, the floor, then you can go ride the bench or you can go sit at home. Either way.
Sure. There's no money risk involved. When you're talking about AD and Wood playing together, AD would obviously be the five on defense, and then Wood would be the four on offense, right?
Yeah.
That's why, like, and I think, to me, like, I have a lot of questions about this. I think AD and Wood offensive lineups are going to be like through the roof. I think they'll score a shit ton. One of the Lakers' main offensive actions was using a double screen, and those two guys would kill it together. They're both good screeners. They both know how to fill in. Am I crazy? Like, I kind of am interested in a Wood Hayes lineup. Like, to me, like, our guards are so small, and I think a way to kind of mitigate is be huge on the front line. And I kind of like some Austin, Gabe, D'Lo, but then you have like Hayes and Wood, or like you have Vando maybe in that. But I just like, I'm interested in like going bigger, because I think you just talking about Hayes is an extreme athlete, but he's a five, and Wood at least can space the floor to me, and to just give those guards a little bit more size on the back line. I think that's an interesting look that we'll go to too. And those two guys kind of teamwork the backup center option. He just gives Wood gives the roster flexibility that I just didn't have. And he might just not be good, but like just theoretically he gives them flexibility that just they just didn't have, which is why I think it's a good
move. And I don't disagree. I can see it how it works.
Right.
You know, it's just when
there's a reason he's on his eighth team, like that's,
and yeah, but, like it's just, you know, like I don't want, like I said, I don't want Christian Wood to be bad. Like I said 5-6 years ago, holy crap, I would have loved this even before he had developed, you know, into the guy that was scoring as well as he can. I really, really liked him, but it's just always just kind of been like it doesn't impact winning. It's just kind of empty stats, you know. He's Pau Kuzma in Washington. Mm-hmm. I had to do that one.
There's no reason. There was no reason for that.
I did that. No, there was. There was.
NBA champion Pau Kuzma, by the way. Make sure.
Yeah, I don't give a shit. there's plenty of guys that are NBA champions that I don't give a shit about. But yeah, I'm not so amped up, but like this is the missing piece, you know.
Yeah, that's my biggest thing with like I'm not annoyed by the move. I'm more so annoyed by
the reaction
to the move.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of people putting a lot of unfair expectations on Christian Wood.
Sure,
that he's gonna be a guy who's gonna put up those 16-7 numbers. And also buy in on defense, and also, you know, start that he's, I think best case scenario is like 12-6 from him. 12-7.
That would be great. That would be great.
Yeah, I agree. That would be fantastic.
But there's a lot more guys in the pecking order offensively, especially even after LeBron and AD. Reeves and D'Angelo Russell are going to be major parts of the offense. Rui Hachimura is going to put up 14-15 a night.
Yeah, we have. As fans, we have LeBron and AD who are going to get 25 plus. And then you have D'Lo who's going to be 17, 18, something like that. I don't remember exactly what he was scoring when he was traded to LA. You're going to have Austin who we just said would not be surprised if most nights we see more of a 19-5 than, you know, a 12-3 type thing, you know. And Rui who turned it on with the Lakers again, and also the guy who they paid the most out of those three. Mm-hmm. it wouldn't surprise me if like there are where he's scoring between 15-20 a night, you know, like mm-hmm. you have guys that can score. So like that's why I'm just not concerned, you know, about that. Like that's I guess how I brought up Winnie and Gabriel before, and I'm sorry to kind of sidetrack it again. With when Winnie and Gabriel was playing so much and the team was so effed, it was because it was Austin Reeves who no, actually Austin was hurt with that hamstring issue.
Him and Ronnie were out for
15, 20 games. It was literally like Dennis, Russ before he got traded, Winnie, and like they pulled up Max Christie for, you know, a couple games. Like it was just nothing, you know, like, and I think Max will be good. I think Max should get a decent amount of run.
Like there's a role he picked up by like 8 a game. Like that's not out of the realm of possibility for Max to put up like 8. Like it all adds up to a ton of points. And I can definitely see them being one of the best offenses in the league. And that was without Christian Wood coming in.
Yeah.
So for these people, it's putting all these expectations on him to be this missing piece or sixth man of the year candidate if he comes off the bench. That's just not going to happen, even in the best case scenarios.
Yeah. I mean, if it happens, that's fantastic. Oh.
Yeah.
But like the expectation of that when like I said, Dallas desperately needed a guy like that, and they ended up sitting him. That's the thing. They ended up sitting him because he just wasn't buying in. You know,
I also think it's more important that Reeves, Russell, and Rui are
baller.
Yes, that they're scoring more than
Christian Wood. I think they are way more important to the offense.
Yeah,
they're,
I mean, and then add into that, Gabe Vincent's probably going to score anywhere from 10 to 13 a game. Yep. So, yeah. You know, like, I mean, there some of these guys, the points are going to be lower because there's no way that all these guys are going to be scoring 15 to 20, and then you have AD and LeBron at 20 to 25 or 25.
Four all-stars, Clayton. We're going to have four all-stars. Yeah.
You know, but, like, my point is when everyone looks back at the lack of big man depth last year, it also was because there was a lack of everything depth last year until the trade deadline.
Sure.
Yep.
So, you know, you had fucking Kendrick Nunn who just signed in like the Israeli league. Like, that dude is, like I said, when he was signed by the Lakers, that he was buns, and just like he got traded and then brought in a much better guy now. It's just you didn't have anything because either it was a former MVP that was no longer good, or you had, you know, Reeves, Lonnie, AD, LeBron hurt. So, like, it's kind of, you know, that's kind of why, like, I'm not concerned and so much.
We, like, also haven't seen this, like, the post-deadline team with a consistent backup big. Because, remember, Mo Bamba played, like, four or five games.
Man, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I forgot. Man, him and Malik, man. I still cannot believe that they just let those guys walk for nothing. That was insane to me.
They were going after Bruce Brown. Eventually selling for a ridiculous money.
Which, woo! Good for Bruce Brown. I love Bruce Brown.
Oh, that's going to be on our team next year, without a doubt.
Yeah, that dude is...
He's going to what?
Go get them checks.
He'll be on a different team. A one plus one, right?
I think it's just a one-year... $24 million deal.
I'll look it up.
Yeah,
but like,
yeah, it was for Bruce. Yeah,
it was a heck of a thing.
Was it 18? I don't remember, but
it was definitely over 20.
It was 20 plus.
It was okay. It might have been 24 if I remember correctly.
It was 2 years, $45 million with the Pacers. So 22 and a half.
So it's a team option for year two. I'm pretty sure.
I will look at that according to Spot Track. It is, yes, a club option. So right. You know, like, they got a guy,
a massive trade piece, I think.
Oh yeah, I was just about to say that dude is being dealt not even by, you know, next offseason. That dude is going to be traded away by February. Like, yep, it's just, yeah. So, like,
it's going to be a team in the West that's below, like, the Nuggets, Suns, and Lakers, who think they need to get someone to defend Bradley Beal and Jamal Murray and Austin Reeves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. I do understand why they did it. It still, to me, was just like, holy crap. But regardless, you know, there's so much more depth on this Lakers team. You know, that's why, like, I wasn't that concerned that, you know, like, and if he's good, I'm happy with it because, like I said, I used to be a big fan of him. If it just doesn't work out, then sayonara.
They don't need him, right? Like, they don't need him.
No, they don't.
He's a luxury. I forget.
100%. He's a luxury. But I think, like, it is important to have that position filled. And right now he fills that position. They don't need him to fill it. But to me, that position does need to
be and that position by the deadline could be, like, let's say the Pelicans.
For sure.
Maybe like the Jonas Valanciunas that you can get or something along those lines of a big man that you can get out of the deadline. I need to look into the teams see whether bigs will be available, but, like, yeah, that could be someone, like, way more important.
Who I thought of when we signed him, and I think he's better than this player now, and this player has kind of dropped out of the league, but remember, and we used a bigger asset to get this guy, but we used our MLE on Montrezl Harrell. You remember we used our MLE on Montrezl Harrell, and that was like
he's on the Sixers, by the way.
He is.
Okay, but I don't remember
which team he's on. I don't now. Even know.
They have like five bigs. Yeah. They have so many.
Right,
bigs.
But he's on a minimum deal now too. Montrezl Harrell, I believe, is on a minimum deal. But anyway, like, to me, when we signed him, he was a innings eater, right? I think that's the baseball term. Like, he's a guy that, like, fills he fills regular season holes. And, like, look, what I said this before. It might be empty calorie stats, but sometimes you just need calories, right? Sometimes you just need to fill up on something, and I feel like
sometimes that beats the
the worst teams in the league. The Orlando Magic.
That's what I mean. Yeah, like, we just needed something to kind of fill in. And I love Winning Gabriel. Shout out Winning Gabriel, who actually got his team, South Sudan, to make the Olympic qualifier this year. So shout out to him for doing that. But, yeah, like, you go from him to just a talent upgrade. And honestly, I was fine with Winning Gabriel returning. Like, I was fine with that if that was the option that they went to. They still have an option open. I think Nerlens Noel just got on the market. I don't know
if you guys like that guy. It wouldn't stun me if he did end up on the team again still. That wouldn't be
really stunned. I wouldn't be mad if he got it. I think someone should sign Winning Gabriel. Like, I think he's just a really good player.
Someone who has a better structure to play next to him 100% should have him as like a ninth man.
Exactly. He was our center, and he's probably more of like a forward that needs like a big
Denver has always made sense for me. This offseason for him.
I think like a Bucks make a lot of sense. Him next to like Brook Lopez could be interesting. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to watch Wenyan on Denver, man. Don't break my
I'm just saying I don't hate the Nuggets. So I only have like a handful of teams that I really hate, and the Nuggets are not one of them. That would be obviously Celtics, Boston.
Spurs.
For me, it's always been the Spurs. That in my lifetime, that is a bigger rival in my lifetime than the Celtics.
So I've always hated.
Obviously, the most historical one is obviously the Celtics. But like in my lifetime, I've gotten way more pleasure in just curb stomping the Spurs than any other team.
So I think the Suns are a sneaky one too. More so over the last like 10 years, they're just annoying more so than like rivals to me. But they've always like kind of pissed me off. I don't know why. Like, ever since after like the Nash stuff kind of went away, and like early 2010s to now, they just always kind of annoy me. Maybe it's been since Booker's been on the team. I don't know. He bothers me, Booker.
He does. No. All right, I think that's it. We'll end up talking way more Christian Wood too when we get into more rotations and everything as well. So I think we're going to go ahead and end it there, unless anyone had any final thing that they wanted to talk about. I think that was it though.
21 days until the first preseason game, by the way. So
I'm not surprised you know. I'm surprised you don't have like a like timer
live watch.
He has like a big like giant scoreboard looking thing in his room. It's just like the brightest lights, and he's like trying to sleep just staring at it.
So it's just so bright.
Man. All right. So anyways, I don't have anything else to say. Raj, did you have anything that you wanted to throw in there last second?
Nah, man, this was fun. Let's get this season started.
Yeah, and everyone that listens to this should know everything to do with Raj. So Raj with it's All Access, right?
Yes.
And I always mess that up, so I worried about that. And then I still miss that you're no longer Unwritten Rules on Twitter, but you know, whatever. with the Kobe tinkering with the ship in the bottle. But we love having Raj. Yeah, we love having Raj on. He's
essentially a co-host at this point.
At this point, he is on here almost as much as we have it. You know.
Yeah. Yep. I think the last like four, including this one.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
I think you guys didn't you guys do like a football show in between? I think you guys did like one football show.
Not lately. No, we it's just timing has been terrible, but. Yeah. All right. So thank you as always, Raj, whenever you join us. And as Merge said, you're essentially just here all the time with us anyways at this point.
Yeah.
He's going to expect us to start paying him soon. Yeah.
He's gonna invoice you.
he's got your email so he can send it your way.
Yeah.
Your email's right here too.
And thanks as always as well, Merge, for joining us as you are.
Hopefully you guys hear this in a few days.
a few times. It just expected some time before preseason. Who knows?
It'll be soon.
Okay. That's it for us. Thank you all for listening, and stay safe out there, and go Lakers.
Peace.